These timeless gemstones remain with us forever, passed down for generations as cherished family heirlooms. I'm Bruce Williams.
And I'm Steve Williams. Here at Both Williams Jewelers, you'll find Colorado's most stunning collection of natural GIA graded diamonds, each still hand-selected for maximum beauty and timeless value.
A natural diamond is a luxury like no other.
Remember, you can buy a better quality diamond at a lower price anywhere in Colorado. That's the Williams Money Back Diamond Guarantee.
Williams Jewelers, we can make diamonds a part of your life.
Williams Jewelers, where Colorado shines.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. Visit Allstate.com or call for a quote today.
KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. 104.3 The Fan. We are Denver Sports.
Denver Sports Snapshot.
Saturday on 104.3 HD2. Listen to the CU Spring Game starting at 1.
104.3 The Fan. We are Denver Sports.
Denver Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Broncos trade Cortland Sutton before Cinco de Mayo, how would we look back at Halloween? The Cortland Sutton story is really interesting because it's really nothing. He missed a voluntary workout. Like, no one cares if Cortland Sutton missed a voluntary workout, right? But what makes it interesting is we wouldn't even know that if it wasn't reported on. And we know it was reported from Cortland Sutton's camp. Okay? That's what makes it interesting.
Uh-oh.
That's the only thing that makes it interesting, literally.
That's going lawyer on, everybody.
Well, if Tom Pelissero doesn't fire off that tweet, we literally don't know that Cortland Sutton missed a workout.
That's true.
Right? But he did. And then he told Cortland's side of the story that he wants a new contract. So now it's a thing. Not because he missed a voluntary workout, but he made his intentions clear through a national reporter what he wants.
Yeah, which is smart to do. Kind of keeps your hands out of it. You want to get it out there so everybody starts to get on your side. You want the press to start kind of pressing Sean about it. It's a good tactic. Hopefully it works.
For who?
For Cortland, I guess.
Getting paid by the Broncos?
If that's what he's won.
You said hopefully it works.
Because in Cortland's head, this is his cry for help. This is his cry of saying, this right here could get me paid more money. So in his case, if I'm Cortland, I'm hoping that this works.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. This is George Payton earlier today when asked about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% voluntary, Mike. It's the first week of the offseason program. Sean's talked to Cortland. I've talked to Cortland. He's in a good place. You know, we'll just leave it at that.
Sean's talked to Cortland. I've talked to Cortland. Cortland's in a good place. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. Sure, Coach.
No problem. But let me ask you this. In that same article from Bill Barnwell talking about a trade for Pat Surtain, which we still have to go back to and read some responses from the RamosLaw.com text line because we got quite a bit, and the few of them that I saw were mostly thoughtful. If the Broncos trade Cortland Sutton during the draft,
mm-hmm.
All right, do you remember when the trade deadline was?
Mm-mm. I'm not good with my math right now.
It's nothing to do with math. It's just dates.
Well, there's numbers and dates.
That's true. It was October 31st. Okay. It was Halloween.
Yeah.
That's when the trade deadline was. My question is, and I'll throw this out to the listeners as well. If they go on to trade Cortland Sutton 7 days from now, in whatever, and maybe it's 8 days from now, maybe it's later in the draft.
Yeah.
How will you look back at what they didn't do at the trade deadline and then went on to trade Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton anyway?
See, I think the Jerry Jeudy one is a lot different than the Cortland situation. I think that Jerry Jeudy didn't want to be here. He wasn't doing anything for us, and therefore we had an opportunity to trade him and get more leverage. I don't see that being the case here with Courtland. I don't think Courtland's going to give us or get us what Jerry Jeudy's got us. Plus, we needed Courtland this year. Let's be real. Courtland did some really, really good things, some spectacular catches, top 10 best catches of the year.
Yeah, he had three of the top 10, remember?
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like your best bet is trying to get rid of Courtland here for the draft, but you needed him during the season.
I have a little bit of a different take on it.
Okay, okay.
If they go on to trade Courtland Sutton,
yeah.
And by the way, I'm raising my hand and knowing I'm about to go armchair quarterback because I have all the information of how the season went. But if they go on to trade Courtland Sutton, I will look back at the trade deadline and say, you guys should have already did this. You guys should have already did this. They reacted to a two-game winning streak. Two games. Two. I know you're not.
Who are the teams?
Green Bay Packers in a game that they could have easily lost. And you could say should have lost. They win 19-17, though. That brought them to 2-5. And then they beat Kansas City. They had five turnovers.
Yeah.
And see, this is actually bringing up a bigger point for me. Who always wants all their players to be available to them on game day to win the very next game? The coach or the GM?
The coach.
Who should have the more wisdom and bigger picture, long-term vision?
You would think your GM.
You would think the GM. And this is why, over the last couple of years, I once in a while will refer to the Denver Broncos as the disjointed Broncos. Because when your general manager is now not even involved in the coach's interview, the GM can't make big boy, big picture wisdom decisions in the moment because the guy who's the coach, who's about the here and now, is the one actually making the decision.
Yeah.
And if you go on to trade Jeudy and Sutton after the season, when you could have got way more for them at the deadline, according to Schefter, a 3-5 for Jeudy, and we don't know with Sutton, but like, and you reacted to a two-game winning streak, I would just say, man, what would draft night be like if you had more picks because you traded Sutton and Jeudy and you probably accepted your fate during the season that you weren't going anywhere? You would have had a better draft pick anyway with better picks. I know I'm doing armchair quarterback.
No, for
but
sure.
But I'm a fan, and I'm just looking back at it like, man, that was a mistake.
Well, who's to say that they didn't try to trade Courtland? Courtland still had a lot of money last year put on his contract that somebody else was going to have to pick up on top of giving a draft pick that some team probably wasn't willing to do at that time. And so that's one thing you could ask. Another thing is you don't want to give up everything. You don't want to give up everything just right away. Because then it shows us right there that you're tanking. And I know Sean doesn't want to be a guy looked at as tanking.
Definitely not.
He already has different things already put on him.
Yeah.
So, like, why would he put it in the air saying, hey, we're going to tank? If that's the case, he should have benched Russell Wilson when he was going to bench Russell Wilson.
See, and this is a part of the bigger conversation, too. It's like you were ready to tap out on the quarterback during that specific window. During that window.
Well, they were ready. Because he thought they were going to get beat by the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why he was ready. When they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, it changed their whole perspective on everything that he had planned.
But didn't they come to him during the bye week? But the Chiefs' win came before the bye week.
For sure.
So it's like you are ready to tap out on your quarterback, take the biggest dead cap hit in NFL history in the same window of time you had to decide on these players.
Yeah.
I just think a more traditional hierarchy with a general manager who's in charge would have stepped in and say, hey, I know you want these guys. It's my responsibility to worry about the bigger picture here. We have to make moves.
Who gave Courtland all the money, though?
George.
Who gave Tim Patrick all the money?
George.
Who decided on the fifth-year option? Sean and George.
Yeah, Sean and George.
So what would have happened if George was the guy in charge? Probably nothing.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I'll tell you this. If it was up to George, Russell would have finished off the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think that even George would have made that big boy move. George would have kept Courtland because George obviously paid Courtland a lot of money. George probably would have paid Courtland again if it was up to George.
Maybe. And we'll never know. We'll never know.
No, we won't.
But we'll see what happens next in this story with Courtland Sutton because I do believe there is another chapter waiting right around the corner. It's a Fan Flyaway. That could be waiting around the corner for you. It's presented by my friends at Sport Clips. The Fan Flyaway is back. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get. Two tickets to the game. Round trip airfare for you and a buddy. Hotel taken care of for not one but two nights. And $500 just because. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those who have previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, you're already part of the club. You will be entered into this one as well. Once you sign up, you're entered into all future Fan Flyaway contests. I don't think this is going to be the last one. So take the 2 minutes, throw your hat in the ring. There's literally no downside, and the upside is absolutely incredible. Okay, Deion Sanders is clearing the air and calling out the lies. We'll hear from Coach Prime coming up next.
Station 104.3 The Fan.
Coach Prime clearing the air, calling out the lies. Got some interesting audio to play for you here, but before I hit play, let me tell you, Phil and I, tomorrow, it's a Dry's Brouhaha. We're going to be at Edgewater Beer Garden in Edgewater. We'll be there tomorrow from 2 to 6. All right, so come say hello. Come listen to the show. Have a nice drink on a Friday afternoon and just hang out, all right? You can head to denversports.com/drive for more details. Deion Sanders, the list that he wanted Travis and Shador to be limited to that he talked about on a podcast, we talked about it like a month ago.
Yeah.
It was that Gilly the Kid and I forget the other guy on it there. Limiting it to the teams that he played for. It came up this past week again. Did you hear or see any of that?
I didn't see that part.
Okay, the New York Post wrote an article like within the last week or so about this list, but they used the podcast from like a month ago. So we talked about it like a month ago.
For sure, when it was fresh.
When it was fresh, someone from the New York Post must have like just came across it and was like, did anyone write this? No? Okay, I'll write about it. And then it became like a story, like it was like brought back to life. But we both know Deion never really said it himself, did he?
No, he didn't list the exact teams that he wanted his kids and Travis to go to.
That was the other co-host, right?
For sure.
For the podcast. So when it came back up from the New York Post, I'm like, we kind of already talked about that. Not going to do it again. But Prime was asked about it again from Romy Bean, and this is what he said.
Thing about a lie is so fast. It can outrun the truth any day. That's a bold-faced lie. That's a stupid lie. I have more than six owners that are friends. I have more than six GMs that are friends. You got to understand, I played 14. And I worked another 17, I believe, in the NFL, NFL Network, and Soap CBS. I know a lot of people. Come on. So I would never do that. Before I would disclose, if I was that stupid, I wouldn't disclose the teams I would want them to play for. Mm. I would disclose to several that I wouldn't. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupidity. I would never do that.
Well, next question.
Well, good for Deion for kind of clearing the record, because for all the things that you could say about Deion, that one wasn't actually true.
Yeah.
So this idea that the Broncos weren't on the list.
I mean, why would you even not have a team on the list at this point, right? Like, you want what's the best fit for your kid right now. You don't know what's the best fit for your kid right now. Maybe after this year is done.
There you go.
You see what's going on with the quarterback position. You see who's out there. You see who needs a quarterback. You see who's willing to give up a quarterback to get another quarterback. Then you start making your accusations on things like that. But right now, it's so fresh. That's like, why would I go out there and put my son and Travis Hunter in a situation where teams are already hearing about this?
Yeah. Now, he may have his own list in his head.
Yeah.
Because he did say, hey, we'll pull an Eli. You know, that's something that he actually said into the microphone. But we never heard from him who's in and who's out.
Yeah.
So maybe Denver, there was a thought that Denver wasn't on the list. Maybe they are on Deion's internal list that he has in his head. He also had some thoughts about the idea that his sons have been recruiting for CU on social media and had some really interesting thoughts, and we'll play those for you coming up next. All right, rolling downhill on a Thursday here. Thanks for making us a small part of your day. Pretty sure Jacksonville Jaguars general manager Trent Baalke ripped a massive fart in the middle of a sentence during a press conference today.
Yeah, he ripped some butt.
I mean, this is... KJ, did you see this? Have you heard this?
No, I haven't, actually.
I wish we could get the audio, man.
We can get it. We can get it. KJ can pull it. KJ can pull it.
He was so serious, too. He was in a serious conversation.
Yeah.
Very focused. And all of a sudden... And he just kept rolling.
He did. Well, he said, excuse me.
He said, excuse me.
It was like one of like the more like open farts. Like you'll see like in a public setting. Yes. Yes. But he was in the middle of giving a pre-draft press conference. KJ can pull it just as easy as Trent pushed it. So we'll get it here in just a second. Deion Sanders. Right over.
KJ was laughing.
Deion Sanders. All right, so we just heard from Deion saying that list for Travis and Shador was just not true.
Yeah.
It's just not true. And thankfully that's the case, because that didn't make much sense when that was coming out. I'm glad he cleared the air. He has every right to do that. He's dead on. All right, that's just not true. The other scuttlebutt this week was Shiloh and Shador recruiting the portal through social media.
Yeah.
Hey, DM me. Defenders DM me, offensive players DM Shador. All right, and Prime gave an answer on the heat that Shiloh's Instagram account created, talking about recruiting the transfer portal on social media.
I think most prominent players at every program are probably your best recruiters. We have a recruiting department that's superb, and they're elite, I really feel. But I wish you could have a conversation with Shador and just tell him to just show you his DM one time. You would not believe the kids that call him or call Shiloh, because they're high-profile young men that calls Travis, that calls Jimmy, that calls some of the guys that has been here, that's the standard, to fill us out, to see where we are. Because a lot of young men we can't talk to, it's not legal. So what do? They communicate through one another. You guys got to learn that stuff. That's how the communication starts. And that's how it works. So when Shiloh is making a joke, which he was, about hit me up, my brother, offensive, defense, or whatever, it's a joke, but it's actually real. That's how stuff happens. Players recruit players, man. We do a wonderful job as the staff, but they got to be validated by players, because they played with those players that you're talking about, either in high school, at an all-star game. They know somebody that knows somebody. That's how the recruiting thing works, man, for real. It's players.
So really interesting thoughts from Deion Sanders sitting down with Ryan and Konigsberg of DNVR.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've thought a lot about this. I really have in the last 24 hours. Before I share my thoughts, I'm curious, what are your thoughts of what Deion Sanders just said on behalf of Shiloh and Shador?
I mean, he's spot on. He's right. Because even when you're going on a recruiting visit, who are you with? You're with the coaches, but at night and most of the time, you're with the players. You're seeing a college atmosphere with the players. Those are the quarterbacks. Those are the running backs. Those are the defensive players you're going to be with. You want to know if you gel with them. So it's easier to connect with somebody that's the same age as you, somebody that's going through the same thing as you, not just a coach that you don't really believe and don't trust, and they'll blow smoke up your butt for a little while, and then when you get there, they change up because they got you there.
Right.
That's what happens. But with the players, they can kind of shoot you straight a little bit, tell you, like, what's really going on, is it going to be good for you? And if you're a receiver, why would you not want to kind of connect with your quarterback and see if it's a good fit and see how you like that quarterback, or see where he's at with things. Hey, do you think I should come here?
Yeah.
Do you want me to come here? Kind of situation, you know? So I think it's smart. Why not? You're not breaking any rules. It's a way to get more players to want to be there. I would do it. And honestly, I did do it back in the day in college. I would DM some players that I know are going to hit the transfer portal or looking for someone and be like, hey, what about here? Come here, take a visit, see if you like it. Like, there's no harm done with that.
The no harm done, that last part, is actually really key for me in my own thought process. because, you know, sometimes we'll say like, hey, this may hit your ear the wrong way, yeah. but the Broncos should consider trading Pat Surtain or whatever. Yeah. This naturally hit me wrong. Okay. Natural, just organically, like my gut reaction was like, dude, what is going on in Boulder? Yeah.
That they're sensitive flower. That, you hit your ears wrong. Your eardrums are a little sensitive.
Well, it's like, dude, you guys like aren't having enough success with the portal that like on the first day of it opening, this is how we're doing it. Yeah. Like, what is your guys' process up there? And that led to a lot of people more established in that industry than I am being like chaos, unserious program. Like you saw it's a lot of that.
Yeah, all kind of stuff.
And the more I thought about it, you know what the downside is for it? It's the look. It's the look for someone like me or Jeff Schwartz or fill in the blank. You know, and I'm saying Jeff Schwartz, he's a former NFL offensive lineman. Yeah.
And Jeff Schwartz has kind of been heavy on the program and saying that they're not going to do well after Deion leaves or whatever the case may be.
Yes, and that's who I got into it with in New York. One of the words he was saying.
Black eye. he came back with a black eye. I was like, what's up?
He is a huge dude. He is a huge dude. So it was interesting that we're going back and forth upon like meeting each other on
just
the same night.
Each other.
Because he was like, Deion's gone. That program's going to be a mess. I'm like, the program was a mess. There was no downside to hiring Deion Sanders. Only upside. But he was one, because he covers the Pac-12 network. Or he was part of the Pac-12 network, covers the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. So that's why he kept on having these like kind of run-ins verbally with what he saw with the program. But I want to make sure I say this. I think the downside to it is literally just the look and narrative that gets spoken into microphones or tweeted. And the potential upside, and you sort of said this yesterday, if it leads to one kid who becomes a starter or plays a real role for your program, that's what's measurable. That's what's tangible. You not putting yourself out there in a best look or maybe for other people, that should be secondary. I've never seen it. It was weird for me to see it initially.
You just haven't seen it out there. But it's being done all the time, you know? That's the difference. It's just being out there and visually being able to see it with your own eyes.
Yeah, I know it happens all the time, of course, because we talked about it yesterday. Like, and in my day, it'd be like people coming home from the summer and talking that way. Social media was just exploding. It wasn't as just prevalent as it is today back in 2007, 8, 9, 10. I'm good with it. The more I thought about it, I'm like, this is not, I've just never seen it so open. The DMs happen. You're talking about, it's rampant. These guys all talk to each other. Yeah. I've never seen a net casted that wide, though. Like, hey, DM me, and you can come to Colorado. Now, Deion's saying it's a joke. I don't think it's a joke at all.
Oh, no. No, I think that it's calculated. I think that Deion told his boys to do that. I think his boys want what's best for the program, and that's win. And what's best for them is having better offensive linemen, better defensive players to play with.
Yeah.
All right, Shiloh really needs that for him to jump off the draft boards. He needs to have help around him so that it elevates him and makes him look even better. So, like, if I don't have those type of dudes around me right now, best believe I'm going to be calling some of my guys that I know are good and they just don't like where they're at to see if they want to come here.
Yeah.
You know? You can have fun. You can enjoy it. You have a chance to be around Lil Wayne and everybody else, but also have a chance to go to the NFL. Like, it's a win-win situation if you're good enough to do it. The only thing is, if you get here and you're not good enough, you're going to have to jump right back into that portal.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, and you know I think this is Deion's last year, or if you come here to play for Deion and he leaves, you could be back in the portal for that reason too. So, this journey with Prime has been fascinating. And I said this about a month ago to you with Prime.
Yeah.
Great hire for CU. It's brought so much attention these last 14, 15 months, whatever it's been. But it doesn't mean I have to like every single thing that he does.
No, no.
So I'm kind of picking a la carte, like, I like this, I don't like this. I love that he said this, holding guys accountable, sharing wisdom, didn't really like this. But this one was one I actually flipped on, this unique little thing on the Instagram thing specifically. It's like, what's really the downside?
Yeah, and I think we're nitpicking right now because we're waiting for some real action to happen because ultimately he needs to win games.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win games, it's going to be bad. But if he does win games and this is a success everybody and their mama's going to be trying to do this. Everybody and their mama's going to be out there with it because there is no rules in this transfer portal thing right now. There's only one rule. There are no rules. It's just truly a WWE SmackDown Raw versus whatever you want to call it.
No holds barred.
Free for all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mayhem.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's Austin. That's Austin's music. You hear the glass. That's
Zach Bryan's walking out. He got the spandex on. Hair grease back. Cow nipples. Now he's coming.
All righty then. Okay. The Nuggets begin their rematch with the Lakers in about 72 hours. And I have a question pertaining to this season's biggest question when it comes to Denver, and that's coming up next. The Nuggets begin their rematch with the Los Angeles Lakers in 3 days. We are so close. We're so close. I have a question pertaining to the Denver Nuggets' biggest question mark this season.
What's the question?
What's the question? Who will be?
What's the question?
There it is. There it is. Who will be the bench MVP?
Ooh, you got to have one. Last year was Bruce Brown. We don't have him in the building anymore. Who I think it's going to be and who it might be is two different things.
Okay. Talk to me.
I'm going to go with Christian Brown. Okay. He's the safest bet. He's been playing the best ball of his career right now. Okay. He's won a championship. He knows what he needs to do. He plays really good defense. His shot's starting to come along. He's more consistent than the rest of the bench. I'm going to have to go with Christian Brown.
I think that I agree with you when that's the safest play. That was a rookie who was playing. Dude, rookies don't play in the NBA playoffs. Rookies don't play in the NBA playoffs. They just don't. He was the only rookie playing in the second round. He was the only rookie playing in the second round. All right, and he was doing it for the eventual champions. He scored 15 points in the NBA Finals. Christian Brown did. He was the first rookie to hit 15 points in the NBA Finals since Sam Cassell did it as a rookie in 1994.
I mean, you're talking about 15 points the whole entire series of the Finals.
No, I'm saying
in one game.
Yeah, 15 points in a game.
Okay, in a game.
Yeah, which he did against the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Now, when it came to the Lakers, how many points did he score the entire series in the Western Conference Finals? Talking about Christian Brown. How many total points across the entire series? Zero. Zero. So it was different, and it might go like this. In certain series, one guy, because of the style of the fight, because of the matchup, we might have like a Reggie series. We might have a Peyton Watson series. I'm fairly certain we're going to have games for all these guys, like big games where we're coming in for the three guys specifically, Reggie, Jackson, Peyton Watson, and Christian Brown.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have games, individual games, where we come in here and we're like, oh my God, the Nuggets do not win last night without Reggie Jackson.
But the question was, who ends up being the MVP of the bench? If you have multiple players that are putting their hands in the pot and being successful, how can you pick an MVP?
Yeah.
Right? Like we said last year, Bruce Brown was the MVP. You knew that.
Yep.
This year, everybody's going to have to help out. You know, at some point, Peyton Watson. At the other point, Christian Brown, Reggie Jackson. And that's why I said the smart answer and the safe answer would be Christian Brown. That's who I think it is. Who it's probably going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson.
You think so?
I think it's going to be Reggie Jackson.
Well, he's going to have to make shots, man. That's the number one hallmark of his game. He has got to make shots. And if he doesn't, Reggie's effectiveness just... it takes a nosedive. Mm. I'm interested to see what he looks like after a week off. Ultimately, end of the day, bench MVP, Christian Brown.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Christian Brown.
Well, who has a longer leash? Like the chains on the leash. Like who has the longest one that can mess up a little bit, take those risks, and still play? And who has the least amount of leash leverage?
Yeah, I would say Christian's got the most leash.
I don't know.
Because, and here's why. For me, I think Christian Brown can, like, if I was just mentioning with Reggie, if Reggie's not making shots, his value as a player takes a nosedive. Christian is a two-way player.
Yes.
Who, and offensively, he has, over the last 5 weeks, has kind of rounded into form where you hoped he would be at the beginning of the season. He just got there real late and had some real frustrating months. I think he was trying to put too much on his plate. I think he's just trying to do too much. But him defensively and him in transition, he should be able to do those two things, play in transition and be a pest defender. And rebound. So transition, rebound, and being a pest defender and playing as hard as he can for, I don't know, 14 minutes a night. Those three things should be able to translate through every game, much like running the football.
And if it does, he will be the MVP.
Yeah.
Because look what he has done.
Yeah. Now we're talking MVP of the bench, by the way, if you're just joining us. Yeah.
MVP of the bench.
Christian Brown. Phil said Christian Brown will be finals MVP.
Who would have known? No, we're talking about the bench.
Yes, we're talking about the bench. Who would be the bench MVP? I think I agree with you. I think the smart answer is Christian Brown. I think the opportunity for the loudest game is Peyton Watson.
Hands down. He brings the most energy. I get excited watching him. I love when he's on that court. Now, I don't know what I'm going to get out of him. He might try to do a 360 windmill backflip dunk on a fast break. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
We've seen him get in trouble this season with that.
he's been in bench jail because of it. Yeah, he has.
Like, one possession game late in the fourth. Let me bust out a windmill here.
Let me just do something that I know Coach is going to be mad about.
Time and place.
You know, that's the only thing that I have against Peyton Watson is you don't know what you're going to get from him. With his play, sometimes he's inconsistent, but also, is he going to go haywire on you? And you know Malone's not going for that.
No.
But see, what's funny is, throughout this whole entire process this season, I think that Coach Malone has had more patience with Reggie Jackson than he's even had with Christian Brown. There's been times where we haven't seen Christian Brown because he's made Malone mad for whatever the case may be. But for some reason, Reggie Jackson would throw up stupid shots and do things that make you frustrated. But he's always out there.
You know, Malone's got the thing with veterans, man.
He does. And that's why I could see where if anybody can make mistakes, it could be Reggie Jackson. Even with Christian Brown and definitely Peyton Watson, if they make too many mistakes, Malone will not hesitate to sit them on that bench for a little while.
Well, with two of the three guys, Christian Brown and Reggie Jackson, it's sort of been a tale of two halves of the season. Mm-hmm. First half of the season, there was a lot of times where Christian Brown was just simply hard to watch, period. Where it's like, whoa, is this guy regressed year over year? And then through the first, it felt like 40 games, we were coming in here like, oh my God, Reggie Jackson did it again.
Yeah.
He bailed out the team again. And then the second half of the year, it's like, ooh, Reggie's hard to watch.
He hit the wall.
And Christian started to get his stuff back on track. Down the home stretch of the season. So hopefully Reggie resets himself. Hopefully Christian Brown continues the path he's been on for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And for Peyton Watson, the swings, the ceiling and the floor game to game, it could be dramatic. It could be dramatic.
And I can see that. I like that. It is going to be dramatic.
And on nights where he's swinging up, Phil, I could see a scenario where Peyton Watson is closing a game or two.
I was going to ask you that. Do you see him closing a game out, okay, in the playoffs?
I do. A couple times. I think it could happen, I don't know, one or two times. I'm not getting carried away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Peyton Watson has an opportunity where, like, you're going to flip on ESPN's Get Up and or First Take, and they're going to go, oh, my God, the Nuggets have a young player that we didn't even know about. I know we know all about him here, and I know a lot of true basketball people know who Peyton Watson is, but on the big scale for the masses, Peyton Watson is not some household name. I think after these playoffs, you could turn on First Take, and Stephen A. is like, yo, Peyton Watson, he could be that guy.
Well, tell me this, all right, and it could be a starter, it could be a bench player. Who has the most to prove in these playoffs? When you turn on that seat in that couch, right, with your beer in your hand, scratching your belly, I know you're going to be doing.
I do not drink during the games. I do it immediately after.
Okay.
Who? Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr.?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Because, like, does Jokic have anything to prove?
No.
Jamal? Not really. Not to basketball people. KCP, bona fide vet.
Yeah.
He's a veteran's veteran. He's a pro's pro. Aaron Gordon, same deal. The bench guys, they're in their own category. Michael Porter Jr. is a max player. Max player. And, dude, you're talking about someone who's dealing with a lot on his plate?
Mm.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. in the same week is going to see his brother, Jonte, get banned for life from the sport. And tomorrow, his younger brother, Corbin, gets sentenced in a vehicular manslaughter case.
That's rough. It's tough, man.
That's awful, man. That's awful. And now the question is, I mean, that's just such a heavy burden to bear as a human being. And now it's like, and by the way, what I'm about to say, I'm not saying it's a quality about a person. I just don't know what it's going to look like yet. Is Michael Porter Jr. the type of person, again, no downside either way as a human, but is he the type of person that uses the game of basketball as a total escape and coming up for air, and this is the only place I feel normal right now? Or does it have some sort of negative effect? And who could blame him if it has some sort of negative effect?
For sure. There's always going to be some kind of negative effect. I think that this is his safe space right now is the basketball, especially when you have two brothers that you love dearly that are always around you.
Yes.
Are going through some big issues.
Yes.
I think that it's going to help him out more being on that court than just sitting there thinking about your two brothers and thinking about the worst in it, the worst possibilities of both cases, which is being banned and going to prison.
Yeah.
And I think for him to just be there with his teammates, focusing on the game, it's going to help him out so much. But we also know how Michael Porter Jr. is. Even if he had his brothers just there, if he's not on, he's not on. You know, and he's just kind of that. I hate to say a head case because it's like I don't think that's a good word to say, but also it's like he has to get hot fast if he's gonna be someone that you can count on later on down the line, down the stretch of the game. And I think that he's gonna be more focused than ever because of the situations going on outside of this, and you might see some of the best basketball just because of that.
I hope so, man. I hope so. And the one thing I'll shoehorn in here before we move on is that Michael has done a better job this year than almost any other year with when shots aren't falling, he's not a zero.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about Reggie Jackson. Yep. Reggie Jackson's shot's not falling. I don't know what other,
he doesn't play good defense.
Real qualities he's bringing to a playoff court. Yeah. With Michael, I mean, the guy averaged 7 rebounds a game this year. That's nothing to just shake his stick at. And I know, look, I mean, he's not the greatest passer, but he's averaging second highest assist. He's just doing other stuff. He's not a zero.
He's doing more than he did last year.
Yeah, yeah. And against the Lakers this year, that's when he had the perfect game, where he shot 10 for 10, 5 for 5 from 3, finished with 25 points, the only instance in NBA history where those three boxes are checked. He had a separate game from that against the Lakers where he went for 27. He's been really good against the Los Angeles Lakers going back to last year in the playoffs as well. So if I'll say this in conclusion with the MPJ stuff, if Michael Porter Jr. is playing at a even reasonably high level, I'm not talking about his peak for every game, but even a reasonably high level, the Lakers don't have a chance.
No,
they don't have a chance.
How many points does that mean for reasonable?
If he averages 18 points a game for the series, I don't see the Lakers winning. I don't see them winning anyway, but I'm talking about like winning multiple games.
Yeah, yeah. If Michael Porter Jr. scores 18 points a game, they're going to dominate this series.
Yeah, I think so too.